And the internet introduces everybody, no matter how weird, no matter how marginalized, no matter how peculiar, to the fact that there are others like you. There are others like you. Find the others. Make common cause. Realize that it's the deals you cut and the friends you make that determine where you're going to be standing when the flash hits.
I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! This thing sucks!
Fanny pack in 1993. It was in a dumpster behind the DMV. People made fun of me and acted fanny whack. Cut me some fanny slack. One man pointed right in my face, called me a fanny, and sprayed me with mace. Little did he know that I keep in my pack a really big knife, and I stabbed him in the back. He's dead. He's dead for being fanny whack. It's convenience, undeniable. The zipper's reliable. $9.99 at Target, that's viable, it's triable. Women laugh and giggle when they see the little pink bag that I carry with me. They think I'm not really a man, because I wear a fanny pack. Well, fuck you, shit, look at my fanny sack. You're not a real woman, you got a big fanny rack. If you cut me, do I not bleed? If you jerk me, do I not... Just because there's a pack above my bum. The revolution's here. The fanny pack is not just for the queer. If you join me, I'll buy you a beer, but I warn you. If you make fun of my pack, I'll stab you in the back. Thank you very much.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
Talking about three events, Super Bowl 46, the 54th Grammy Awards, and of course the death of Whitney Houston, all connected. The Super Bowl halftime show is the most watched musical event of the year. Yeah, the Super Bowl halftime show, not the Grammys. What better place to showcase the Illuminati message with the High Priestess Madonna to America delivering the news than on the most watched musical event show of the year, the Super Bowl halftime show? More than 162 million watched it. The selection of Madonna, her performance, also points to another preliminary event which they plan to precede the main event of America's destruction. Madonna was named High Priestess of the Kabbalah on February 21st, 2005. That's 7 years ago now. The number of spirituality she appears in the Super Bowl. It's almost exactly 11 years since Whitney Houston, who also played a large role in this year's Super Bowl, sang at the Super Bowl in 1991, where the Illuminati had an obsession with the number 11 as well as owls. I don't know if you can recall that Super Bowl. I don't have time to go into it, but owls and the number 11 were all over the Super Bowl in 1991 with Whitney Houston singing. The Giants, by the way, again featured in that game versus the Buffalo Bills this time. And they were, of course, the winners of Super Bowl 46 and are now the giants in the land, if you get the biblical meaning. The Patriots were defeated. That's right. The American Patriots were defeated.
Between love and hate, there's a thin line designed to be repetitively stepped over time after time. I could read the minds of these silly men, reptilians that's not really friends, only chill with you to the Philly ends, or to the bottles empty, hot and envy. Could be this guy on the passenger side that's riding with me, possibly hiding some animosity he got from me. Logically, everything gotta be deeper than the eyes can see. I'm focused with a prophet, be a prophecy. Said I'd make mega millions without playing the lottery. My child to be will probably never see poverty. Maybe on TV, but at least not in reality. Some niggas get out of me, others is proud to see me blow. Most of the niggas that show my love is probably hating on the low. See, I recognize the snakes and the rats. They fake and they act like it's all good, but wanna put a blade in your back. They make an attack when your eyes closed, too late to react. I can't take a nap, cause you end up in a wake like that. Stay on my toes like ballerinas. Flows fill out arenas. Let model divas swallow. I see popping out of beamers. Come on and dream with me. Play the block, peep the scenery. Smoke and mirrors, everything ain't what it seemed to be. Wolves in sheep's clothing, crooks that keep posing. Look, I'm heat holding, get put to sleep frozen. Just give it a rest, this is the best. And y'all don't do it how I do it, cause I did it to death. One of the last real lyricists left. You in a mess, worrying about your images. You living with stress. I'm the same OG, genuine with mine. I know you probably press rewind every time he rhymes. See, I'm kind of incredible, unforgettable, forever true. Better than you, and I do shit you never do. In the pursuit of the revenue, get in the way, I gotta leave your top open like the letter U. Food for thought, you just looking, I fed it to. I'm sicker than swine, bird, or whatever flew. How you fly if you never flew? These niggas are lying, you never true. I'm like a scientific chemical, a dose of me, and it's the end of you. Real, recognize real, I don't remember you. Apollo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Saturday, February the 21st, and here now is a roundup of the latest news at home and abroad as reported by our foreign correspondents.
From the west coast of the United States, we take you out across the blue Pacific to the Hawaiian Islands. Go ahead, Honolulu.
This is Jim Wall speaking from KGU in Honolulu. It is 2:36 Saturday morning in Hawaii. The islands of Hawaii, forming the westernmost American bastion, stick out into the turbulent Pacific, to use common local parlance, like a sore thumb. But here we use the word sore in the sense of angry determination. And this thumb is pointed at Japan and ready to crush any prowling Japanese gadflies beneath it. We in Hawaii, nearly halfway to the war-shattered Orient, are in a peculiar position. We have a grandstand seat, and we're watching hour by hour developments in the Pacific with intense interest. Many developments in our daily existence may serve as indications of our preparedness. We've been living under strict martial law for nearly 3 months. That means, among other things, total blackout from dark to dawn, rigid curfew, and complete prohibition. Ours is no semi-blackout, as in many West Coast cities. If you're guilty of so much as lighting a cigarette on the street after dark, you're likely to be picked up by the tin-hatted sentries, whisked before an all-night army court, and heavily fined. The curfew is real. No one moves about after it rings unless specially permitted to do so. And there hasn't been a legal sale of a drink in formerly easygoing Hawaii since the first bombs fell. We won't mention pineapple swipes and lemon extract. We don't know what the future will bring, but we're getting ready. We realize that nowhere in this war-torn world are military regulations so rigidly enforced as here. Our blackout is blacker than London's. Our barbed wire fills every lonely beach. Every uniformed man and civilian carries a gas mask day and night. Many civilians also carry helmets. These regulations sometimes hurt, but there's no grumbling. We're too busy for that.
Be whatever you want. You can play as many times you want. You can behave in a certain way, but you cannot violate other people.
My track!
My track!
Naughty Darwish speaks for Israeli apartheid!
Naughty Darwish speaks for
nasty little Jewish princess, with long bony nails and a hairdo that rings. It's a horny little Jewish princess with a garlic aroma that could level Tacoma. Lonely time. Well, she can't swallow my pride. I need a hairy little Jewish princess with a brand new nose, who knows where it goes. I want a steamy little Jewish princess with overworked gums, who squeaks when she I don't want no troll. I just want a Yemenite hole. I want a darling little Jewish princess who don't know anything about cooking and is arrogant looking. A vicious little Jewish princess to specifically happen with a bee that's snapping all up inside. I just want a princess to ride.
God, this novel be good. Hashem's not calm. Man, you're like a disease. I'm in truth. And I don't want to try. So come on, get out of here. I wouldn't even stop. Cause God, what do you want, boy? What do you want, boy?
Okay, he's the driver.
He's the boy! Okay. He better be the driver. Why wouldn't you drive you around? Why wouldn't you drive your fucking butt around? I could drive you around. Wish Al-Qaeda would drive you around. You know, there's been two suicide bus drivers in the city already.
Shut up.
Slam the bus straight into a wall, man.
Shut the fuck up.
Retarded girl, you're so retarded, man. Your brain is gonna turn to blood. I smell 770, man. Your brain turn to blood. May your grin turn to blood. May your grin turn to blood.
Call the cops.
Yeah, that's very easy. Come on.
May your grin turn to blood. May your grin turn to blood.
You need to lay off that crack.
All right, back to the top. Everybody twist.
I want a funky little Jewish princess,
la, la, la.
A grinder, a bumper with a pre-moistened dumper, a brazen little Jewish princess,
ayo!
With titanic toothpick and sandblasted zits.
She can even be cool, so long as she does it with four of the
I want a dainty little Jewish princess,
la, la, la.
With a couple of sisters who can raise a few blisters. A fragile little Jewish princess,
hi-yo!
With Romanian thighs, who weasels and lies
for two or three nights. Won't someone send me a princess who bites? Someone send me a princess who bites. Won't someone send me a princess who bites? Won't someone send me a princess who bites?
I'm calling the Mashiach to kill you. Serve the Jews or die.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm part of the Rebels campaign, and I don't ever want the Messiah coming here. Ever. Okay. I want you to be completely abandoned, and I want you to turn into a slave.
There's no point in
your reason. I'm a Jew, a Sacrament, but I'll kill you, retarded Nazis. Yafi Adonani Morenu Barabani Melech HaMashiach Lelom Ba'ed. Yafi Adonani Morenu Barabani Melech HaMashiach Lelom Ba'ed. Yafi Adonani Morenu Barabani Melech HaMashiach Lelom Ba'ed. Every mitzvah that I do kills you Nazis.
Is there a psychiatrist on
the Every Nazi I kill is off the Jewish people. Now shut your nasty mouth up or suck a cock. How much have you sucked, you gnarly girl? You sucked that put it in your throat, girl. You gotta get that fuck here. You little Nazi girl. You're naughty. I will call drop my hat, that curse you in the shovel. Drop out my hat, that curse you in the shovel.
It is said when you see someone who looks like they don't feel very well, you say, my goodness, you look like death eating a cracker. Or if they look really bad, you say, you look like death eating a cracker walking backwards.
Volts of electricity. Burst into flame.
An 8-year-old girl is rushed to hospital after being shot at her school in Bremerton, Washington. The unnamed victim is believed to have been hit in the stomach after a gun in a male classmate's backpack went off accidentally. The Armin Jahr Elementary School near Seattle was evacuated shortly afterwards. The girl is said to be in a critical condition, whilst her classmate has been arrested for bringing a gun into school, unlawful possession, and assault.
In the US, a 20-year-old woman has been left in a coma after being tased by a Florida police officer while handcuffed.
Danielle. Come on.
Doctors say the woman was left brain dead during the incident and will likely never wake up. Footage from a police cruiser dashboard camera shows the officer firing the taser's electric probes into her back. She then spins, falls backwards and hits her head on the ground. The Florida Highway Police say the officer was trying to prevent the woman from fleeing and has cleared the officer of any wrongdoing. Experts have, however, slammed the policeman's use of the taser, saying he would have easily been able to apprehend her. Amnesty International says hundreds of Americans have been killed in taser attacks by police. Well, from Washington, we're joined by Ty Barry. Welcome to the program. First of all, I mean, according to reports, at least 500 people, if I'm not mistaken, have been killed due to the use of these weapons like taser guns. I mean, to what extent can these weapons be used?
Well, these weapons are supposed to be non-lethal, and that's what they were originally meant for. To stop someone and not kill them. Well, it's become quite obvious that the police now are using them as weapons.
Currently, football's the sport of choice in the UK, but in the future, it might be this. It's called Ultimate Taser Ball, a four-a-side sport played across the Atlantic that involves a big ball, big hits, and stun guns.
Don't tase me, bro!
There are two goals, like in football or hockey. It's played in 3 7-minute periods, and essentially, it's not for the faint-hearted. Shocking apparatus like tasers are illegal in the UK, though, so that probably means UTB won't be hitting these shores anytime soon.
Don't tase me! Yeah!
Because I heard you.
Come on!
I heard you say that I agree. So, you have started something, you gotta keep it up now.
I chose my friends carefully. The more politically active black students, the foreign students, the Chicanos, the Marxist professors and structural feminists and punk rock performance poets. We smoked cigarettes, attended classes sparingly, drank beer heavily, and tried drugs enthusiastically. At night in the dorms, we discussed neocolonialism, France Fanon, Eurocentrism, and patriarchy. And if the high didn't solve whatever it was that was getting you down, It could at least help you laugh at the world's ongoing folly and see through all the hypocrisy and bullshit.
I have to admit that when Newt Gingrich first used the phrase, the food stamp president, I was outraged. But then I started looking at the facts, I did my homework. I crunched the numbers, and I have to admit, food stamp president might be on target. I think we have to be willing to understand the numbers and speak the truth, even when that truth might hurt. So I've come to the floor today with some facts and figures all sourced and backed up, because I know that Newt Gingrich wouldn't have it any other way. So let's learn about the food stamp president. Here's the fact. It clearly shows that the food stamp president increased spending on food stamps by more than $19 billion. Let me repeat that. Under the food stamp president, the U.S. increased its spending on food stamps by more than $19 billion. That's a B. The source, the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Here's fact number two. Under the food stamp president, the number of people using the food stamp program increased by 11 million people. The source, the USDA.
Thank you.
Here's fact number three. Even the amount of the benefit has increased under the food stamp president. The amount per benefit increased $27.38 per recipient. Not much, you would say, $27. Well, guess what? The 27 buck increase per benefit is the largest increase that occurred under any president in the last 30 years. Pretty dramatic, huh? And what's the source of that? The USDA. Now let's just review for everybody again. Republicans and Democrats, let's all get together and review that the numbers don't lie. Under the food stamp president, spending increased by more than $19 billion. The number of people using the program increased by 11 million people. And the amount of the benefit increased by a historic amount, not seen in the last 30 years. We may not like the fact, but sometimes the truth just hurts. And here we have them. The food stamp president of the United States. Yes. George W. Bush is the food stamp president of the United States. Under the food stamp president, George Bush, we spent more money, had more recipients, and gave each recipient more money for food. Now, I know that some of you are saying, Louise, you're not being fair. Aren't there some other food stamp presidents out there? Okay, you're right. Yet under another food stamp president, spending increased by more than $9 billion, the number of recipients increased by 7 million, and the amount of the benefit increased by $17. Yes, let's show him who it is. Here he is. George Herbert Walker Bush was also the food stamp president. See, it runs in the family. Food stamp president senior and food stamp president junior. It's hereditary, a rampant family disease that makes them just want to feed poor people, hungry poor people. Now, I have to confess and make a confession today. I support the food stamp program. I think that SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, to call it by its actual name and not something that Newt Gingrich thinks is politically punchy, serves an important purpose. The purpose largely is to prevent children and old people from going hungry. SNAP doesn't provide them with some fancy perk from some out-of-control free spending program. It provides kids and old people with food. You can't redeem food stamps at Tiffany's, which might be another reason Newt Gingrich thinks it's so bad. But I think that Americans want their people not to go hungry. And just in case I'm wrong, if Newt Gingrich met a food stamp president other than the one named George Bush, well, I want to thank Barack Obama today because he's also invested in SNAP. He's invested in nutrition for America's most vulnerable. And here's another fact. The last one I'll make today, Mr. Speaker. And this one's for Newt Gingrich. Just in case, his food stamp president name calling was designed to make a political point that he wasn't so quite willing to come right out and say, of the recipients whose race we know, 22% of SNAP recipients are black, 34% are white. Because hunger knows no race or religion or age or political party. Hunger is colorblind.
Black History Month, you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? Come on. Tell me.
I'm Jewish.
Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
You know there's something odd going on when the Pope is a German, but the head of the central bank is an Italian. The old rules are being turned on their head. Germany rules the roost in Europe, but France is delivering the message. Like a pliant concubine hoping not to get shut out of the power bedroom. And the big question is whether the Germans have actually given up on the Greeks. Until recently, the Greeks believed that the Germans would blink first in this game of chicken. The Greeks could hit the nuclear option by threatening to leave the euro, and the Germans would have to do a deal. But this has all changed. Greece is being sealed off, and the Germans seem to be prepared to call the Greeks' bluff. The Greeks have been given an ultimatum: do what Germany wants or sink. So they're looking now at years and years of austerity. But we know that austerity isn't working. Last year, the Greek economy shrank by 6%. With no growth, there's no tax, and there's a massive hole in the budget. And worse still, the country can't stand on its own two feet. For example, Greece has to borrow 10% of all its income just to cover its imports. And anyone who could have got their money out of Greece has done so already. Over half of young Greeks are out of work. And this can't go on. As the great American economist Herbert Steen once observed, when something can't go on forever, it will stop. But how will this stop? Leaving the euro must be an option for the Greeks even after getting all the second bailout money. Because if they stay in the euro and stick with all these cuts, they are looking down the barrel of years of indentured slavery to foreign creditors. Democracies simply don't work like this. So what are they going to choose? The uncertainty of a new drachma or the absolute certainty of 10 years of contraction? So that's the Greek view. But what does the world look like from Brussels and, more importantly, from Berlin? Since the crisis began, much of the talk was almost like the prodigal son about how the EU family would look after the delinquent Greeks. This was driven not so much by concern as fear, because every time the Greeks looked like they would default, the banks panicked because a Greek default would prompt a wider default and banks' balance sheets would collapse. So the Greeks had the Germans and the French by the balls, because the banks were up to their necks in dodgy Greek loans. So in order to force the Greeks' hand, the Germans and the French had to find a way of insulating their own banks against this Greek default. Now this is where our Italian friend, the head of the European Central Bank, comes in, and this is why everything has changed. The ECB is now presiding over a massive cash-for-trash scheme, whereby the bust European banks give the central bank trash as collateral. And in return for this trash, the ECB gives them real cash. And real cash at 1% for 3 years. This is the banking equivalent of turning water into wine. Banks take this money that they have borrowed at 1% and they lend it back to insolvent governments at 6%. Now this looks great because the interest rates on government bonds fall and the assets on the bank's balance sheet seem to get bigger. So both governments and banks look stronger. It's just a scam. It's more financial engineering, giving the impression that all is okay while ignoring the real problem. So think about what is happening. We have insolvent banks lending to insolvent governments, and we are calling it success. Not only is this a scam, it is an enormous scam, because by the end of February, the ECB will lend 1 trillion euros to European banks. Now let's just get our heads around how much 1 trillion euros actually is. 1 trillion is 1 followed by 12 zeros. That is a huge amount of money. If you were to spend 1 million euros a day, it would take you 2,740 years to spend 1 trillion euros. The bus banks borrow this at 1%, they lend it to the government at 6%. The difference, which is 5%, is huge profit for the banks. But who pays it? You do. So the banks that are responsible for the crisis because of their reckless lending are being bailed out by the central bank, and you, the taxpayer, pay the bill. Now, how does that make you feel? So not only are the banks being bailed out, but they will now be used to bash the Greeks into submission. With this 1 trillion of cash sloshing around the banking system, the Germans are reassured that there is enough liquidity to withstand the shock of a Greek exit from the euro. So this forces the Greeks into a corner. Either Greece pays the banks, or it is on its own with a new drachma. But anybody who knows anything about economics understands that the issue is not that Greece will default or might default, it is that it won't be allowed default enough. The country is bust. This is why the Germans have changed their views. And this is now being described in Germany as the X strategy, like the X factor. And the X is the exit of the Greeks from the euro. It's been openly discussed in Germany for the first time ever. The lesson from this Greek debt crisis is that to stay in the euro, all European countries have to become more like Germany. But Greece will never be Germany. So what is the point? This German Europe is not what we all signed up to. In fact, it was sold as the opposite. A community of equal nations was the promise made this month, 20 years ago, at the signing of the Maastricht Treaty. This was supposed to bring the EU together. It has not. The EU countries have never been farther apart. Greece is about to be squeezed dry, and the euro is only being kept afloat by a massive cash for trash scheme where the banks are being bailed out and the average European citizen pays the bill. And for financial markets, the people who are benefiting from all this, the massive injection of liquidity will create another bubble in stocks and bonds. The profits will go directly into the pockets of hedge fund managers and the like, and then it will all blow up again, and the average citizen will once again be asked to cough up. In this latest European crisis, the banks again get all the money they need, while the citizen is being asked to take the pain and shoulder the burden. The markets are being inflated with cheap money, creating a bubble, while keeping a gun firmly to the heads of the people of first Greece, then Portugal, then maybe Ireland, and who knows where it's going to stop. And think about it. The banks, when they need money, get every single cent they need, 1 trillion euros. Yet, when the people ask to keep hospitals open and schools open, they're told no, there's no cash around. Don't be fooled that this European debt story is over. It is not. In fact, politically, the interesting bit hasn't even started yet.
Our frontline story out of Washington. Progress in the Senate was hindered once again today by the crying of Ted Kennedy's ghost.
In order to fulfill our obligation to the American people, that this is a nation of laws, and this bill will send the message that...
The spirit of Senator Kennedy began to wail after Scott Brown was elected to fill his seat in 2009. His cries grew louder, shaking chandeliers and causing lights to flicker after the Republican takeover of the House. And a coat of green slime appeared on the walls when Republicans started working to repeal health care reform. Ted Kennedy's ghost is not the first to haunt the Senate chamber. The ghost of Strom Thurmond howled for nearly 3 years until it was finally placated by Hurricane Katrina. Now we're homing in on Houston, Texas, where NASA announced today that the crew of the International Space Station has successfully completed their 13-year mission studying man's ability to constantly repair a large object in space. NASA officials hailed the remarkable feat of maintenance at a press conference this afternoon.
And throughout human history, man has gazed at the stars and dreamed of fixing something up there. People once thought the ultimate feat in human repair was a really big boat. Today, we've accomplished so much more.
This comes in the wake of NASA's previous success, finding out how many times an astronaut could hold something in his hand, then let it go, watch it float in front of his face for a bit, then catch it again. And our Onion ground sensors are picking up on this story out of Los Angeles. A pilot whose plane went down in the middle of the Kardashian wilderness has miraculously been found alive. 29-year-old Craig Hamilton was flying a single-engine plane to San Diego last week when a mechanical problem forced him to crash land near the Great Kardashian Volleyball Court. Hamilton says he was thrown from the plane during the crash and blacked out, regaining consciousness near a jacuzzi where a large Chloe was bathing. After barely escaping, he spent 4 harrowing days foraging for half-empty yogurt cups and covering his scent with the smell of vodka so that he would blend in with the Kardashians. Hamilton made a brief statement to reporters.
I'd never seen a Kardashian in person before. How close their faces are a lot more terrifying.
Very lucky guy. The last man to get lost in the Kardashian wilderness, of course, went mad.
The sun can be a beautiful if deadly place. Magnetic storms whipped up deep in its core can explode off the surface, sending billions of tons of material hurtling through space. NASA's SDO satellite, or Solar Dynamics Observatory, captures every moment of it. And on February 7th, this rare phenomenon was captured, a prominence, or solar tornado. Complex magnetic forces pull streams of plasma into a storm possibly as big as Earth, with winds of up to 300,000 miles per hour. The 30-hour storm burned at 8,300 degrees Celsius, a breathtaking show of the sun's power.
I'll be so glad when the sun goes down. I'll be so glad when the sun goes down. Tonight all that's leaving, but I wanna lie down. Tonight all that's leaving, but I wanna lie down. I wanna lie down. Tonight all that's leaving, but I wanna lie down. Oh, what's got the matter, baby? Yeah, I can't see. Oh, what's got the matter, baby? Yeah, I can't see. No, the sergeant and the driver's go down on me. No, the sergeant and the driver's go down on me. Just chop your corner like I chop mine. Just chop your corner like I chop mine. Well, you won't be worried when the sun go down. You'll never be worried when the sun go down. I made you a living when I was free. I made you a living when I was free.
When I was free.
I'm in a world of trouble. You won't write to me. I'm in a world of trouble. You won't write to me.
Won't write to me.
Baby. Won't write to me.
Won't write to me.
I'm in a
This is Stephen Flanders, NBC News, reporting. The first American in orbit. February 20th, 1962.
The firing button.
T-minus 10 seconds. Counting. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2,
there
1,
the ignition of the burner.
0, ignition, liftoff.
Liftoff!
The MA-6 vehicle has lifted off. The MA-6 vehicle has lifted off. Trajectory looks good. The MA-6 vehicle is off the launch pad.
That is how it began, one of the great adventures of our time. Before it was over, Colonel John Glenn had orbited the Earth 3 times. His total time in space from launch to splashdown in the Atlantic was 4 hours and 56 minutes. During this flight, astronaut Glenn took over partial manual control of his Friendship 7 spacecraft for more than 3 hours, when trouble developed in the automatic control system. Glenn's takeoff, the potential dangers of his long flight in space, the decisions made during the flight. All this was held under the massive spotlight of minute-by-minute live radio and television coverage. America had put one of her sons, with his skills and that of his many colleagues, on the line for all the world to see. It is the way of a free people to act in this fashion.
Skydived before, but Felix Baumgartner hasn't experienced anything close to what he's planning for this summer. He's going to freefall from the edge of space. That's nearly 23 miles up, and he wants to break the speed of sound.
I'm going to step off that capsule, fall down for a couple minutes, and hopefully I'm going to break the speed of sound.
Obviously, all this requires a high-tech suit similar to those worn by astronauts, and Felix's Red Bull team have been conducting a number of different tests. If the suit goes wrong, the consequences are a little too gruesome to consider. Felix is one of the world's leading base jumpers, but he has to avoid going into a spin, because that would make it very difficult to open his parachute. If the drop successful, he would have beaten a record set in 1960 by Joe Kittinger.
Okay, hello. The BBC has won a high court battle for the right to broadcast child pornography, and there could be more bad news on the way. Good evening and welcome to the BBC's news taken out of context. Our top story tonight. The battle over bonuses is far from over. Hundreds of city traders and bankers wearing balaclavas ambushed the Royal Bank of Scotland today. Business tycoons carrying sledgehammers smashed Britain's biggest bank, shoplifting their multi-million pound bonuses. Police have described the high-flying bosses as dangerous. But first, tonight, the celebrity chef Anthony Worrall Thompson has delivered a defiant speech at his local branch of Tesco. He promised to use an iron fist to deal with protests against his TV programmes. When it comes to alcohol, how much is too much? The court in Paris said it's up to Scotland to decide. They say you should have 300 units every 45 minutes and stop off for a beer on the way home. That's already a guideline in Scotland. Our correspondent, Jeremy Cook, has been focusing on the market town of Hereford.
Hereford, Hereford, Hereford. Jeremy Cook, BBC News, Hereford.
A reminder of tonight's main salacious gossip. There's been a shocked response around the world to video footage appearing to show US Secretary of State Hillary Clinton urinating on Boris Johnson for an ITV programme. It was deplorable behaviour. The Labour leader, Ed Miliband, has told the BBC that his squat remained untouched for thousands of years and maybe, just maybe, the longest on record for a British citizen. Thousands of women remain confused and worried. The government says it has no plans to get the economy moving again. But David Cameron said the Olympic Games and the Queen's Diamond Jubilee would provide opportunities to showcase the countries struggling to pay the bills. In the meantime, there are still plenty of people who want to kill off David Cameron. But today there was a rare display of unity in the Commons as David Cameron and the Labour leader Ed Miliband both decided that they should be allowed to end their own lives. And Nick is in Westminster for us. What's David Cameron actually up to?
The British Prime Minister is a posh English queen. He has his own up his top.
Nick, thanks very much. Goodbye.
The idea that civilizations progress from a primitive state to a more advanced one is a fallacy that evolutionists try to apply to history. If one abandons evolutionist nonsense and prejudice and looks at the historical references and findings with an unbiased mind, what one encounters is civilizations that used highly advanced technologies. Remains left from ancient Egypt, the Mayans, and the Sumerians indicate the branches of science such as electricity, electrochemistry, electromagnetics, metallurgy, hydrogeology, medicine, chemistry, and physics were used to a considerable extent. Electricity was efficiently generated and widely utilized in ancient Egypt. The Baghdad battery and the first arc lights were used at that time. But was electrical generation limited to these in ancient Egypt? A careful examination of Egyptian history immediately reveals the sophistication in perfect illumination. No soot has been found in the quarters of the pyramids or the tombs of the kings, because these areas were lit using electricity. Relief carvings show that the Egyptians used handheld torches powered by cable-free power sources. The arc lamp used in the lighthouse of Alexandria is further proof that electricity was used in ancient Egypt. The energy required to power the lighthouse of Alexandria for 24 hours a day could only have been supplied by a regular electrical source. The pyramids of Egypt were giant power plants generating electricity. 1. The outer casing of the Great Pyramid was covered with white tufa limestone, so tightly built that not even a razor blade could fit between the blocks. The white tufa limestone does not contain magnesium and has high insulating properties. This insulation property prevented the electricity inside the pyramid from being released without control. 2. The stone blocks used inside the pyramid were made of another form of limestone containing crystal and a small amount of metal, which allowed for maximum power transmission. The shafts inside the pyramid were lined with granite. Granite is a conductor, is a slightly radioactive substance, and permits the ionization of the air inside these shafts. When we look at an insulated electric cable, we see that conductive and insulation materials are used in the same way as in the pyramids. 3. The conductive and insulating properties of the pyramid are an example of flawless engineering. However, a source of energy is needed for electricity generation. The Giza Plateau, where the pyramids stand, is full of underground water channels. The pyramids rise above the limestone layers, the spaces between them being full of water. These special layers of rock that transmit electricity upward as they carry underground water to the surface are known as aquifers. The high volume flow of the River Nile that passes through these aquifers produces an electric current. This is known as physioelectricity. The pyramids' underground chambers are granite conductors built within the rock charged with physioelectricity. This electric current is conducted directly to the upper part of the pyramid's granite, covered subterranean chambers. Granite is a very good conductor of electricity. The electromagnetic field that forms at the bottom of the pyramid is transmitted in concentrated form to the upper layers of the pyramid. On the top of the pyramid, there was a gold capstone, gold being an excellent conductor of electricity. This section is no longer there in our day. This means the top of the pyramid has lost its structure of flawless geometry. This gold capstone facilitated a conductive path for the transfer of negative ions to the ionosphere. This way, a current was generated. How does it serve to move the electromagnetic field on the ground through the help of an aquifer? An identical form of this technology, employed in Egypt 5,000 years ago, was used by Nikola Tesla, an inventor of electric technology in the early 1900s, in a tower he constructed in the United States of America. Tesla, the inventor of such fundamental electric technology as the alternating currents, electric engine, radio, the laser, and radar, was successful in simultaneously transmitting sound and pictures between continents in the Wardenclyffe Tower he built between 1901 and 1917. He used an external source of electricity for this, and even applied wireless power transmission technology. Tesla had also built his tower above an aquifer and discharged the negative ions from the aquifer to the tower. The electromagnetic technology used in Tesla's famous tower is identical to the electromagnetic field set up in the construction of the pyramids. Both systems generate negative ions and transmit them without the need for electric cables. So for what purpose did the Egyptians use electricity? Relief carvings clearly show that the Egyptians used handheld bulb-type lamps powered by a cable-free electric source. These bulbs are reminiscent of Nikola Tesla's descriptions to show that his alternating current was safe. At the 1893 Chicago World's Fair, Tesla transmitted alternating electric current through his body to light a bulb he held in his hand without using electric cables. This relief carving shows a wireless antenna. The Egyptians used the antenna and cable-free energy for wireless communication. And the relief on the left is a carved transmitter with the receiver on the left. This evidence indicates that the Egyptians used free wireless energy for communication purposes. This relief carving shows a yarn manufacturing facility. The yarn Egyptians used for their fabrics at that time were as fine as those manufactured by machinery today. The Egyptians also used electric power in their weaving plants. It was seen that many gold objects which have remained from ancient Egypt were in fact very finely gold plated. Such perfect gold plating as in these pieces requires the use of electricity. The total electromagnetic measurement made around the Great Pyramid is identical to that made during a thunderstorm with lightning. There's a powerful electromagnetic field around the Great Pyramid. This may be observed through a simple experiment when standing at the top of the pyramid with a bottle wrapped in a damp cloth. Sparks fly away from the bottle as if one were on top of a high voltage bobbin. The pyramids were not used as tombs. The pyramids have always been interpreted as the tombs of the pharaohs, but in fact no inscriptions of any kind appear in the corridors of the Great Pyramid. This suggests a functional building rather than a mausoleum. An empty stone chest was found on the central axis of the pyramid that archaeologists call the King's Chamber. They claimed that this contained the coffin of the pharaoh, but that since this had been stolen, it was now empty. But the examination of the dimensions of the stone chest and the special location in which it was installed reveals a different state of affairs. That point is just where the missing part of the pyramid's conductive structure and whole design suggests it should be. If a superconductive material was installed here, the pyramid could manufacture enough electricity for all of Egypt. This superconductor is thought to have been the Ark of the Covenant, which was known to have been in Egypt in ancient times, and whose dimensions are just right to fit inside the stone chest. The Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, was adopted by Pharaoh, and according to historic records, was raised as an administrator because of his superior moral values, intelligence, and abilities. One of the phases in leadership training in ancient Egypt was the teaching of all the secrets of Egypt and the knowledge of energy. In addition to its other properties, there are also various references to the Ark of the Covenant serving as a capacitor, and that this was the source of Egypt's energy. The Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, is known to have taken the Ark of the Covenant with him when he fled Egypt. According to historic references, One of the reasons why Pharaoh chased the prophet Moses, peace be upon him, right up to the last moment, and strove to catch him at whatever price, was the Ark of the Covenant. Because Pharaoh was aware that all the glory and magnificence of Egypt would be lost without electricity. Historic references also show that Egyptian civilization reached its peak during the reign of Ramses II, who lived at the same time as the prophet Moses, peace be upon him. But those civilizations collapsed in less than 10 years, after Ramses II, and Giza was even abandoned. The city, once the center of civilization, remained deserted until the next dynasty settled there. Were the Egyptians the only society to utilize wireless electrical technology? The relief carvings left by the Mayan and Assyrians also contain images of similar techniques to those implied in the pyramids. All this information once again goes to demonstrate that there were no primitive people and societies in the past, as evolutionists would have us believe. In terms of civilization, more or less developed communities have lived side by side at all times throughout history. A society that existed thousands of years ago enjoyed a far more advanced technology compared to one living in the 20th century. And this shows us that development is not part of an evolutionary process. In other words, that there is no linear advancement from a primitive level of civilization to a more developed one in history.
I'm sorry, Carol. But if it helps, you're not the first person to get a bum deal.
Mr. Edison, we're going to use your invention to power the world. And Mr. Tesla, we're going to use yours in the background of Frankenstein movies.
But don't worry, we're all going to be living on nothing soon enough. And, you know, with a little bit of help from our friends, maybe, just maybe, I don't know. I have no idea.
Facebook will permit users to change their privacy settings only if they guess the word contained in a locket worn by Mark Zuckerberg. Newt Gingrich's handlers remind him to stay on his uninspiring, belittling message. And an exhausted sweatshop worker just has to laugh after sewing her fingers together. Pushed to the breaking point after constantly being taken to task without ever hearing a word of thanks for what it does around here, an overwhelmed and infuriated nation announced Wednesday that it was trying, okay? Jesus Christ. A poll of the American populace revealed that 33% felt they were doing pretty damn well, all things considered, while another 28% just wanted two measly minutes without somebody breathing down their goddamn neck. Christ almighty, sources added. Disturbed Capitol Hill insiders reported Monday that members of Congress were eerily cooperative and agreeable throughout the day's legislative sessions, prompting widespread fear and confusion across Washington. As politicians engaged in what was described as a truly disconcerting amount of cordiality, agreeableness, and constructive debate, spooked observers speculated as to what foul motive could be behind such unprecedented behavior.
They were putting the well-being of the country before their own self-interest. It makes me worry something's gonna happen. Something bad.
By Monday evening, supermarket shelves had been picked clean, and millions of panicked Americans had withdrawn all their savings in cash, pleading the president to restore bitter acrimony to Congress immediately.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.